Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
All right. Welcome back. Hope you're having a nice little Tuesday. It's a nice day out there. Isaac here.
Solid.
Big Sook not over there. But Schulte is. We've got him. We've got Mariner guy for the whole week.
Happy to be here, baby.
Game three tomorrow. Mariners already up 2-0 on the Jays.
It's nice to be on the air when there's not a game. I will say that.
Right. I need
breathing a little easier. I need a break, man. My adrenal glands are tired.
You know what I've noticed before we get back to our college football scataboo here today? I think that there is a real lack of great color analysts in baseball. So, like, who is the Troy Aikman of Major League Baseball broadcasts?
That's a great question, sir.
Or Greg Olson, if you like Greg Olson. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, I've been watching a lot of playoff baseball, and boy, am I disappointed in a lot of the color analysts. Like, I like John Smoltz. I feel like he doesn't give Joe Davis much. Is the best guy, because it used to be the big guy was McCarver.
Yeah.
And he passed. Morgan was big. Joe Morgan was big.
Him and John Miller on Sunday Night Baseball. That was some of the best broadcasts, like, when I was a kid that I can remember. Yeah.
But who's like, the main guy now? It's probably Smoltz, but I don't know.
Yeah, I don't.
Maybe Ron Darling?
That's the thing about, we're kind of talking about, like, the problem with Major League Baseball broadcasts is they don't really have, like, a main home. Nationally, you've got Apple TV doing games, you've got ESPN doing games, you've got, like, Roku doing games, and most of those, Rob, are just a gaggle of former players, like Smoltz, like Adam Wainwright, excuse me, like Yonder Alonso.
Well, who's with, so when they go to the World Series, it'll be on Fox, right?
Yeah, and I don't think...
who will Joe Buck do the games with? Is it Smoltz?
It's probably going to be, like, a combo of those guys. Like, let me see, like, World Series broadcasters.
Yeah, and maybe I'm missing somebody, but it just doesn't seem like... I don't know.
I mean, I
seems like a lack of.
I've personally always liked Jessica Mendoza for ESPN. I've always thought that she was one of the better voices as far as color analysts go for baseball. Let's see here.
Yeah, somebody texted said McCarver and Morgan had tons of detractors. I know they did. Yeah, I couldn't stand Tim McCarver. I thought, but he was the main guy. Like, I just thought he was. I don't know. He would oversimplify things, and Joe Morgan was just. I think a lot of people thought he was overly critical.
And yeah, John Smoltz will be the color analyst with Joe Davis, yeah.
Maybe Troy Aikman can do it. Oh, wait, with Joe Davis? Is not Joe Buck?
No. And actually, that makes sense, because remember when Buck went to ESPN to do Monday Night Football, he had to give up baseball on Fox. So
we lost
Buck in the World Series.
Yeah, so they couldn't even get Troy Aikman to do it if they wanted. I want to hear Troy Aikman call baseball.
No, Smoltz doesn't really ruffle my skirt, though. I mean, if that's the point that you're making.
No, it isn't the point I'm making. I just don't think he gives... I want more out of Smoltz.
No, that's what I'm saying. He doesn't ruffle my skirt enough.
Oh, I thought you meant like he doesn't bother you. He doesn't really bother me. He's just, I kind of want more out of him out there. I don't know. Ron Darling's pretty good, I guess.
When you look back, yeah, the last five World Series have been Joe Davis and John Smoltz, and then before Buck left Fox, Buck and John Smoltz. And then back in the 20s, I forgot how long John Smoltz has been on the call.
He replaced McCarver, didn't he? It was Joe Buck and Tim McCarver.
Not immediately. First, it was Harold Reynolds and Tom Verducci that replaced McCarver. And then in 2016, Smoltz took over.
Hmm. Yeah. So, yeah. Well, there's hot sports commentator talk for you guys out there. Let's see what I got in the club tonight. Let's take a look at the notes. Mark Sanchez X speaks. You know your old win. And, there's a new doc coming out about a guy... who I now find unfunny.
Oh, really?
I would like to talk about people we now find unfunny, who we used to think were funny and are no longer funny. Kathy Griffin, is that for you?
For me, yeah.
Yeah, just, I used to think she was funny, too.
Well, she was just kind of one of those, like, you know, generic comedians.
She's pretty funny.
Yeah. And
I haven't heard her lately, but I think she got a little too political.
That's the problem.
Is that what it is?
I think so. Well, that whole holding up the bloody mask kind of sent her off the deep end, at least in the realm of entertainment. Yeah. So.
All right. Well, we're going to get to that coming up in the club tonight, 6-7. Back to the college football scataboo. Do we have to label a new James Franklin? I think we do. So I saw a list of coaches versus the top 25 in their career. And I found it very interesting. Now, Franklin, his stat was a little different. His stat was, I think, he was like 3-19 or 3-20 against the top 10, and maybe like 1-18 against the top 5 or something. It was really bad. And I am surprised that they fired James Franklin because of the big buyout. And it wasn't that long ago they were ranked, you know, they were top 5 team. Almost beat Oregon. But look, he's gone. And so now, when I ask the question, who is the new James Franklin, who comes to mind? Because, you know, for me, the name that popped into my head was Lincoln Riley. But then I looked at Lincoln Riley, I'm like, it's not Lincoln Riley. He's done pretty well against ranked teams. I mean, he you know, I think we're forgetting how good he was at Oklahoma. And he struggled to get his feet under him at USC, but they seem to be turning it around. He is 4-11, Lincoln Riley, against ranked teams at USC. So that's not very good, but that's not James Franklin territory.
No.
So I have some numbers for you. This was CBS Sports, and they ranked each coach against the top 25 in their career, no matter where they coached, by winning percentage. And in the SEC, it's Kalen DeBoer by a landslide.
Really?
Dude, he's 17-3.
Yeah.
That's like an 85% win percentage or whatever. I mean, that is better than anybody in the country. So, yes, Kalen DeBoer has lost some games he shouldn't at Alabama, but he's doing it. I mean, that guy's just flat out good. And you could argue, now I know they already lost to Florida State. And by the way, can we now call the Florida State win over Alabama a fluke? Because it was. Alabama might have the best team in the country. You could make that argument. And when it's all said and done, they might. Florida State, not as good as we thought. That was a fluke. Flukes happen. Northern Illinois beat Notre Dame last year. It happens. DeBoer, 17-3. Okay, and by the way, this list does not include this season. So, yeah, I mean, some of these guys have AP top 25 wins and losses this year, but it wouldn't be included in here. But it's close enough. It's from July. So Kirby Smart is number 2 in the SEC, 37-15. Everyone else is 500 or worse. Down at the bottom, you know, all this love for Vanderbilt, and I get it. It's Vanderbilt. Clark Lee is 2-15 against ranked teams at Vanderbilt, or I mean, in his career as a coach. 2-15. And they host LSU. They're favored over LSU this weekend. I think we're a little too high on Vanderbilt. When push comes to, you know, the thing about Vanderbilt, everybody's talking about them like last year, the Diego Pavia thing. He's exciting. And they're, you know, Clark Lee's obviously a good coach. They were, you know what their record was last year?
I can't remember.
6-6, dude. They were. They beat Alabama. They were, they're, you know, it's just because it's Vanderbilt. We have no expectations. We're like, oh, they were pretty good. They were 6-6.
Yeah, we're just looking for that, like, lower tier power four team to kind of raise to the top every year, I feel like.
So Clark Lee's at the bottom. Jeff Lebby is 0-6. He's the Mississippi State guy. If you're wondering, Hugh Freeze, absolutely awful.
Terrible.
Hugh Freeze, 10-32. In his career against the top 25. That's a 23.8 win percentage.
Man.
Is he the new James Franklin? Billy Napier, not good, 5-18. If you're wondering, Lane Kiffin, not that great, 11-24.
Does Fickell qualify for this list?
Well, he's in the Big Ten. I'm just going conference by conference.
Oh, my bad.
Yeah, so I'll get to the Big Ten coming up next. But Big Ten, landing near the top is Lincoln Riley. We'll get to that next. This is the College Football Scataboo on 105.1 The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Big Ten race is looking pretty juicy outside of, well, I mean, it looks like Ohio State and Indiana are on a collision course, but outside of that, a lot more depth in the Big Ten this year. Tougher. We'll get to that coming up here shortly, but trying to answer the question, who is the new James Franklin? I thought it was interesting. I saw a list of coaches against the top 25 in their careers. Nobody, and I mean nobody in the Power Four, matches Kalen DeBoer, who is 17-3. Nobody even comes close. Kirby Smart, 37-15. That's incredible. Everybody else in the SEC, 500 or worse. Most coaches are 500 or worse against the top 25 in their careers. There's only a handful that are even over 500, but Kalen DeBoer and Kirby Smart, by far the best in the SEC. Someone mentioned Steve Sarkisian will end up being the new James Franklin. You know, if you look at it through this metric alone, 21-33 against the top 25. Not as bad as you would think, Steve Sarkisian. But he certainly will get that label of maybe the, you know, maybe if you it'd be interesting to see the number if you paired it down to the top 5 or top 10, like as with Franklin, where Sark would land. So as I mentioned, in the SEC, leader in the clubhouse right now is Hugh Freeze. 10-32 against the top 25. And I'm going to give Clark Lea a pass because he's at Vanderbilt, even though he's 2-15. Now in the Big Ten, Ryan Day, 24-9. Dan Lanning, 10-6. And Lincoln Riley, 18-15. Those are your only coaches over 50% against ranked teams. You got a small sample size for Sharon Moore. Kirk Ferentz, 30-56. But if you go all the way down to the bottom of the Big Ten, you got two candidates for the new James Franklin. One is Matt Rhule. He is 2-22 against ranked opponents. Mike Loxley is even worse at 2-28, but I'm thinking Loxley might get a pass just because, well, it's Maryland. But Matt Rhule, 2-22, wouldn't have guessed that. What is the Matt Rhule love coming from? You know, there was an article out today saying, and Matt Rhule did play at Penn State, so I get that tie, but he is the odds-on favorite to get the Penn State job. Article out today talking about him being one of the ones that they're going to pursue. I like Matt Rhule. I don't necessarily get all the love for Matt Rhule. I mean, he's obviously done a very good job everywhere he's gone. By the third year, he's cranked it up, won a lot of games. Good football coach, but you fire James Franklin because he's James Franklin, and then you hire the new James Franklin. What the hell? If you look at the ACC, Dabo, 40-27, very good. Not quite the winning percentage of Kirby Smart, but then you've got a lot of small sample sizes. I will say, and I hate to report this because I love him, he's a good dude, Justin Wilcox at Cal, 4-20 against the top 25.
I like him too.
But again, he's at Cal. That kind of goes in the Clark Lea category of, well, I mean, we shouldn't expect 20-4 over ranked teams at Cal. And then if you look at the Big 12, the top coach there is just 500, and that's Chris Klieman at Kansas State, 10-10. Mike Gundy was 47-48. He's been fired. Kalani Sitake, 9-13. Kyle Whittingham, you thought maybe would have been better, but he's 22-37. The worst of the Big 12 is, well, Dion, small sample size, 2-7. Scott Frost, 3-16. So if we are looking to find the new James Franklin, might I offer you Hugh Freeze, 10-32 all-time as a coach against the top 25, Matt Rhule, 2-22 all-time against the top 25, and maybe Mike Loxley, 2-28, but I'm going to say either Matt Rhule or Hugh Freeze. We have answered the question. The new James Franklin. Who do you pick?
I mean, Rhule, if you look at... Like, I get the questions about Matt Rhule, but then you also pointed out, man, yeah, three times now he's gone to programs, what, Temple, Baylor, and now Nebraska, and turned it around in the third year, so...
Penn State isn't that, though. Penn State is a team looking to get over the big hump. Like, yeah, so Temple, he went 2-10, 6-6, 10-4, and 10-3.
Yeah.
Baylor, 1-11, 7-6, 11-3.
Well, and that 1-11 was after Art Briles was fired, right?
Yeah, I think it was.
Yeah.
And then at Nebraska, 5-7, 7-6. And this year, they're 5-1. And there's a lot of love for them, but remains to be seen how they finish up. But,
well, and in that number up really quickly, Temple and Baylor and Nebraska in 23-24, I bet you a lot of those top 25 losses came, you know, while those teams were irrelevant and he was building those up. So
good point.
Let's value a loss versus another coach. Like, it's like, what are the expectations of, you know, a Kirk Ferentz at Iowa who's been there forever versus a Matt Rhule versus a Billy Napier? Like, they got to weigh these losses here.
It's a good point. Hugh Freeze, if we go with him, he... was at, I'm just trying to think where he was. So he was at Ole Miss. He was also at Liberty, probably lost a few to the top 25 there, although he won a lot of games there. And then Auburn. So I don't know. It's probably Hugh Freeze, man.
Yeah, I mean, hell, he was.
He sucks. I was watching them. Did you watch the Auburn?
I saw the highlights of that game, yeah.
I was watching that game against Georgia, and boy, they got kind of hosed by the refs. They continue to get screwed, and it's a thing. At the same time, he was being a whiny bitch about it, and they ended up losing. And it's just, I don't know. I would have no faith in him if I'm Auburn. They may end up turfing him. You know, they got another ranked team this week. They play Missouri. That's going to be tough. If Hugh Freeze loses that, they're headed towards the bottom of the SEC. He may lose his job.
Well, Hugh Freeze, the only reason he's where he is now is because he had, like, that one good year at Arkansas State, like, what, 10, 15 years ago, won a bowl game, and then jumped ship immediately. It was like a one-year stepping stone for him at that school, right to Ole Miss. So,
yeah,
and he hasn't been great since then other than, what, 10-1 season at Liberty and a 10-3 season at Ole Miss. That's it.
He was, yeah, I'm trying to think of him at Ole Miss. Was he good? I don't know. They were fine, but I think at Ole Miss they have higher expectations. I know he was good at Liberty, and then at Auburn he's been average to below average.
They made a lot of bowl games at Ole Miss. I can't remember how good the bowl games were, but they were always a bowl team, yeah.
It looks like they won a Sugar Bowl, lost in the Peach Bowl. Yeah, I don't know. Hugh Freeze is a whatever, and he seems like kind of a goob. I'm going to label him the new James Franklin.
I like that better than Matt Rhule, just because I think Rhule is going to get picked right up. It sounds like that people are already swooning.
So. No, it's a fair point about Rhule. It's like he had some rebuilding. He's had rebuilding situations everywhere he's been. So of course he hasn't been that good against the top 25. But tell you what, you know, watch. You know, this it's a good segue into the Big Ten race that we're going to talk about.
Yeah,
watch Nebraska in this Big Ten race. I mean, they're right there. Like, if Matt Rhule is the Matt Rhule we think he is, this could be a 10-win season for Nebraska. And they are 5-1. So it's time to put up or shut up, particularly if you're angling for the Penn State job. They are 5-1. They lost at home to Michigan. They go to Minnesota Friday night. Should win that. Favored to do so. They play Northwestern. And then the big one is USC. They host USC on November 1st. And if they could win that, there's a chance they're 8-9, 10-1. And they finish the season at Iowa. At home against Iowa. And Iowa is just that team in the Big Ten race that I just don't know what to do with. It's like, you know, you see them on the schedule. Like, Oregon's going there to Iowa this year.
Yep.
And you see that game on the schedule and you're like, well... should win, but it's tough. You know, I don't know. I don't know what to make of Iowa.
That'll be a trenches
battle. But they're tough. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. They're always tough, well coached, kind of like the new Wisconsin, or maybe the old Wisconsin. I don't know. But the Big Ten's pretty sweet, man. Like, it's different than last year. You know, Indiana and Ohio State, they're on a collision course, and then for the Big Ten title game. But then you got Oregon, USC, Nebraska, Iowa, Washington is hanging in there.
Yep.
Michigan, all chasing. Pretty cool.
A lot of people expected Oregon to be just at the top with Ohio State because especially the strength of schedule for Oregon compared to last year was supposed to be easier, and it's kind of chaotic. First half of the conference like still looks like it's anybody's game.
In the Big Ten?
Yeah.
Well, no, I think it's Ohio State and Indiana unless they slip up. I'm just saying, like, if they slip up, there's a lot of teams sitting there waiting.
Yeah, that's sorry. I guess that's what I mean.
If you look at the SEC is pretty wide open. Like, you could make the case for 9 teams to be the best team in that league. It's probably Alabama, but there are 9 teams that are 5-1: Ole Miss, Texas A&M, Alabama, Georgia, Tennessee, Oklahoma, Missouri, Vanderbilt, and LSU.
Yeah,
the Big Ten is not like that. The Big Ten is Ohio State is clearly the best team in the country, and Indiana. They don't have a ranked team left. But the thing about Ohio State and Indiana is they've both done their heavy lifting already. Ohio State took out number one Texas. They both beat Illinois. Indiana won at Oregon. I don't think either of them have a ranked team left.
No, Indiana's schedule looks very easy.
So they should, you know, I mean, they could stumble. It happens. But, they should be in the Big Ten title game. And as I said before, I think Oregon fans fine with that as long as they run the table. It's kind of role reversal from last year with Ohio State. Let Ohio State go play that extra game in the title game, and then you get a home playoff game. It's not the worst. It's not the worst scenario. It's exactly the opposite of last year, when Ohio State got the home playoff game and you sat and waited for 25 days. So, I don't know if Indiana trips up. They got to play at Maryland. They have to play Penn State. We don't know what Penn State's going to be now that Franklin's gone. Ohio State's going to have to win at Michigan. But like I said, I'm not a huge fan of Sherrone Moore. I feel like Ohio State and Indiana are going to play in the Big Ten title game. But outside of, you know, behind them, should they stumble? There's some good stuff sitting there. USC, Oregon, Washington, Michigan, Nebraska, Iowa, way better than last year. And I do think NIL is leveling off these races. You know, I feel like last year it was the Big 12 was wild, right? There's a lot of teams that could win the Big 12. Well, this year it looks like all the other leagues, maybe not the ACC, but the SEC certainly, and to some extent the Big 10, are starting to look more like last year's Big 12. Certainly the SEC is. All right, our college football scataboo continues next. How about this? For a vote of confidence from your AD. Here's Schultzy.
Now, from the George McCoy and Warren Allen Sports Desk, a Sports Center update on the Fan Sports Network, 105.1 FM and 1080 AM.
First on the Fan, the Dodgers busy right now taking on the Brewers in Milwaukee in Game 2. Took a 1-0 series lead into tonight's contest. Right now, top of the second with 2 outs, and we are tied at 1 run apiece. Wow, Jackson Churio leading it off for the Brewers in the bottom half of the first with just a solo jack, and then Teoscar Hernandez got it started for the Dodgers before that with a solo jack of his own, and it looks like no strikeouts for Yamamoto so far. 2 for Freddy Peralta, obviously both giving up a run to this point. The Mariners taking the night off after clobbering the Blue Jays in Game 2 of the ALCS last night. They're going to take a 2-0 series lead into Game 3 tomorrow back at T-Mobile Park in Seattle. News out of the NFL today, Tennessee Titans naming senior offensive assistant Mike McCoy their interim head coach a day after firing Brian Callahan. McCoy was previously the coach of the Chargers from 2013 until 2016. And on the hardwood tonight, the Blazers hosting the Warriors for their third preseason game. Portland a 2.5-point underdog, tip-off at 7 p.m. on KATU Channel 2.2. More sports scores and stories in 30 minutes. I'm Schulte from the George McCoy at Warren Allen Sports Desk. Hurt and missing work? Insurance companies acting like jerks? Don't call your mom. Call George McCoy at warrenallen.com.
The home of Dirt and Spray. Weekday morning, 6 to 10 a.m. The Fan Sports Network, 105.1 FM and 1080 a.m.
All right, well, it's me back for Window Nation, where, again, in October, now that we have the chillier weather moving in, even though it was a nice day today and yesterday, that air can be seeping into your home through your old crappy windows that could be cracked or stuck. Just old. You want to eliminate that because, one, it's going to save you a bunch of money on your energy bills, and two, Window Nation has some of the best replacement windows out there, and you can save big monies. Save big for the holidays because they will not make you put a dime down, no monthly payments, nothing down, no interest until 2027. And you can save from 30 to 50% off your total project. The more replacement windows you buy for your house, the more you can save. So fewer windows, 30%, more windows, 50%. Think about that, half off, and they might send you to a Portland Thorns game just because you're cool and you heard it on The Fan. So an A-plus rating from the Better Business Bureau and over 45,000 five-star reviews at Window Nation. It is time to replace those old drafty windows. Save you a bunch of money. Schedule a fast free estimate now at windownation.com or call them at 866-90-NATION. windownation.com or 866-90-NATION. Tell them you heard it from Isaac here on The Fan. License number OR249065.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Dodgers are up 2-1 on the Brewers, second inning. You know, I got to tell you, man, watching playoff baseball, and I love playoff baseball. It is incredible. And we're going to get back to college football here in a second. This is just a little non sequitur, but I don't know about you. I marvel at major league pitchers these days.
Oh yeah,
like they're jaw droppingly good. And it's like one after the other. Like I was just looking at, so they showed Shohei. He was up there against Peralta. And they showed the stat. You know how they do postseason batting.
Yeah,
dude, he's batting 133 in the postseason, and we've kind of reached that era where pitchers are so good that really all you're looking for, yeah, like it's like every guy that comes up batting 150, batting 209, batting 179, but you're looking for just big hits. Did they come through in the clutch like Jorge Polanco has?
Yes.
You know, like Jorge Polanco. It's just amazing how hot that guy is, considering how good these arms are, and it's just one after the other just throwing gas and buckling you. Like, it's incredible.
There's so many more pitchers throwing 100 now, starters 1 through 5, than ever before. I mean, it used to just be like Randy Johnson, you know, the fastball that was 100, and then this 90-mile-an-hour slider that he called Uncle Snappy or Mr. Snappy at the time, excuse me. Like, those were, you know, the greats, the few and far betweens. More and more pitchers are like that, and coming out of the bullpen, Rob, spin rate has never been higher in Major League Baseball. These guys, I mean, Bizardo, for instance, for the Mariners, the movement on his splitter.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah, the movement on his slider. And that's just, it used to be one or two guys out of the bullpen, like
it's
Mariano.
Everyone.
Like,
I know.
Yeah, it's, you got 5-6 deep now. It's
They're
insane.
All Mariano Riveras.
Yeah, not quite that, but they've all got the possibility to get pitchers to move like that. And, Rob, you can now go into the pitching lab in one-off season and add another you know, pitcher to your arsenal. You used to have to take 2 or 3 years to do that.
You're so right. Guys are doing that over in the offseason now. They're adding new pitches. It's crazy. I don't know how anybody hits.
I mean,
how does anybody hit? Who is Jorge Polanco? Test him for steroids.
Right. That's what everybody's yelling about for Cal. Like, it's his big butt. Do you not see it? Come on.
Cal. Love the Salem Cop.
Salem Cop with the big hips, baby.
Okay, I have a stat for you. Okay, so we were just asking the question, who is the best team in the SEC? I think it's Alabama. And I think that will, over time, I think they'll win. Georgia's a little bit down. I don't believe in Ole Miss. LSU is interesting. They got a good test at Vanderbilt this weekend. See how they do. They should win that if they want to be in the hunt for the title. Who else? Missouri's good, but not going to win the league. Oklahoma, good, not going to win the league. Texas, good, not going to win the league. Am I missing somebody that's way up there in the SEC? Oh, Tennessee looks pretty good.
Yeah, they do. I don't know if anybody takes them seriously, but yes, they are good.
Oh, I take them seriously. I think they're really good. I think Josh Heupel's really good. Josh Heupel is an underrated coach that we don't talk enough about. Anyway, you want a good stat? This is a good stat. Which defense has given up a combined 2 of 37 on third and fourth downs their last three games?
That has to be Texas A&M, right?
Good call, dude. You're right. Texas A&M.
Just from highlights, like, they have been locked in.
2 of 37? That's insane.
What happens when...
And maybe that's the best team in the SEC.
What happens when Oregon gets forced into 3rd and 7, 3rd and 8? They can't convert. And that is what Texas A&M has been doing the best out of everybody all season, man. Damn.
Wait, are you saying Oregon? So wait.
I was using the example of Oregon facing that situation. Any team in college football won't be successful. And if Texas A&M is doing that more on the defensive end, forcing those not conversions, then yeah, they're the best. They could be the best team in college football.
Well, they might be the best team in the SEC. Marcel Reed, their quarterback, is a wild ride. I don't know that I trust him fully, but they're good. They're really good. Mike Elko is a good hire for Texas A&M. And that's nuts. 2 of 37, 3rd and 4th downs the last three games. So how about this for a vote of confidence from your AD? I want to read you what the Auburn AD said. His name is John Cohen.
We all know what the amazingly awesome vote of confidence means.
Dude, he was asked about the status of Hugh Freeze's job after they lost to Georgia. And, you know, Dexter brought it up. I had totally forgotten. Hugh Freeze got fired from Ole Miss. He was pretty good at Ole Miss. You remember why he got fired?
Was it a scandal about?
Yes.
He was
the one using the burner phone, school phone, to solicit prostitutes.
Yeah, he had hookers in his phone. That's who. I always get him confused with like Petrino, because Petrino was the one that got into the motorcycle accident with the girlfriend on the motorcycle.
Correct.
Right? Yeah. All right. Thank you.
And by the way, Bobby Petrino has 9 lives. He's like a cat.
He's around.
He's back. No, he's coaching Arkansas.
I know. He's around.
He might actually get that job full time.
I think he will. Wouldn't you? I'd give it to him at this point.
He's pretty good.
Yeah.
I mean, they almost beat so Sam Pittman got fired. They promote Bobby Petrino, who is their OC, and he almost beat Tennessee in his first game. Like, the guy's good if he can avoid the neck brace, you know?
Came in and cleaned house and, promoted his own guys and looked good.
So here is what John Cohen, the Auburn AD, said about Hugh Freeze's job status. Quote, "I don't know if I'm going to walk outside and my car is going to start or not. I think it is. I have an expectation it will. But if my car doesn't start enough, then I will evaluate that and make decisions about my car. But that's not my expectation at this point about our football program." End quote.
It's the softest vote of confidence I've ever heard, brother.
How do we feel about that? That's a guy who doesn't know what to say. Hugh Freeze is gone.
That was a weird analogy.
Now, here's the fun question. Who is the next coach at Auburn? And where does Auburn rank amongst the top openings. You have you're probably going to have Florida. Mm-hmm. That's a better job than Auburn.
Yeah.
You have Penn State.
That's going to be filled, I think, before Hugh Freeze even is canned, frankly.
Maybe, yeah. But is Penn State a better job than Auburn?
Oh, yeah. I would say with the wideout, with the traditions there. Yeah, Auburn obviously is a great school as well, but right now, maybe 10 years ago Auburn, but right now Penn State. Maybe definitely 10 years ago.
Arkansas's open. Oklahoma State's open. Oregon State is open.
UCLA.
Is there another big one? Oh, Wisconsin could be open.
Yeah, I think Luke Fickell, we were talking about. Could Oregon be the coach killer again for number 5?
See, I think I'd rather have the Wisconsin job than the Auburn job.
Really?
Yeah, hot take.
Wow,
well,
so just, even
just
third
because
tier.
I just think the league and the SEC, you're second fiddle to Alabama down there. I don't know, there's something about the Auburn job that is sneaky hard. You know?
I mean, it's...
Although Gene Chizik did it.
Well, I mean, it's in the middle of... The thing about Alabama, man, is it's not... even amongst those dogs, it's not the top dog. So you're fighting... It's weird, like Oregon obviously, you know, had to go away from the state of Oregon to find the best recruits in state of Texas, state of California, yada, yada. Alabama's literally there, you know, in that state. Auburn's trying to compete with two other schools just to get the best kids from their area. So I wouldn't pick Auburn.
Yeah, Auburn's interesting because they did win a title, although Malzahn didn't last more than, I mean, or not Malzahn.
Chizik. Yeah.
Was he like 3 years there? Out?
It was pretty short. He titled and then he...
So it was weird. They got Cam Newton. They had fairly... I mean, we all remember that. Oregon played them, but...
Love Cam Newton.
Yeah, it was... I mean, great get. He was one of the better college quarterbacks we've ever seen. He was awesome.
Good the NFL, frankly, too, until he crashed his truck. he broke down, man. It is what it is.
But, you know, Auburn, I'm looking through, and if you go... God, you got to go all the way back to, like, Pat Dye... And this is in the 80s. You had Terry Bowden, Tommy Tuberville, Gene Chizik, Gus Malzahn, Brian Harsin, and Hugh Freeze. If you look, it's because somebody texted and said, Auburn, no reason to be bad. If you look at their, all of that combined, they have not been that good. I mean, I thought Terry Bowden at Auburn was much better. He did have one 11-0 season. They finished top 5. Pretty good the rest of the way. Tuberville was 9 wins. Although he had 1 year where they went 13-0 and won the Sugar Bowl, finished second. You know, Chizik won the title. So, they're weird. Gus Malzahn never did all that much. He won games there, but it wasn't good enough. Harsin wasn't good. Freeze hasn't been good. I don't know. Is there something in the water at Auburn? It kind of reminds me a little bit of USC after Carroll. It's like, you think it's a great job, but then everybody goes there and doesn't quite live up, and you wonder, well, what's in the water? What are we missing about that job? Maybe Auburn has a little bit of that. But they should, you know, Matt Rhule would be a good hire for Auburn, don't you think?
Yeah, if they could
get him.
Yeah, I was going to say, if Matt Rhule would consider them. Don't think that's going to happen.
So Matt Rhule played at Penn State. Mm-hmm. Oh, you know what the other one today was? Penn State is, the report was Penn State's going to go big, or try to go big. And they're going after Marcus Freeman.
Oh.
And by the way, they're not going to get Marcus Freeman.
No, I was like, Notre Dame's going to just drive a Brinks truck up to his house. Yes. Say, hey, we just bought a nice little property on Nantucket. Do you want that? It's yours. Take it.
I always wonder, you know, because we know that Dan Lanning's pretty solid at Oregon. I just wonder, how often does he get overtures? You know?
I would assume his agent gets a call once or twice every year. I mean, how...
Well, but I mean, like, if you're Oklahoma State, you kind of know not to call Dan Lanning, right? If you're, you know what I mean? Like, there's only so many. So, like, I think if Florida fired their coach, which they probably will here soon.
Yeah.
They're calling Lanning.
Oh, yeah. And, like, I think Penn State probably, if they're doing due diligence.
So?
Yes.
I would. I mean, I would.
Yeah. You're right. There's a level, you know, of schools that just know that they're not getting the guy. But even the first 5 or 10, you know, into that, like, you know, tier 1A or tier 2 of college football teams, I think most smart ADs are trying to do due diligence by reaching out to people they don't think they can get. It's just what you do,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, because you never know.
Yeah,
you
exactly.
Know. They could be pissed off, unhappy.
And
Landing, though.
Well, you know how much relationships come into play, too, in college football. There could be somebody sitting, you know, that's got a buddy that unhappy at his spot, you know, got hired now as a new AD over across the country. I don't know how close all these guys are, but, hey, relationships, you know, they definitely play into it, too.
Okay, guys, we're going to take a break, and when we come back, we are going to be a few minutes closer to the club on the Fam.
It's time for a Ducks Report, the inside story on Ducks Athletics. Brought to you by Mods PDX. The future of building is here.
I think he's handled it the right way. You know, everybody looks internally and then goes back and says, okay, what could I have improved on? What could I have done better? And I think he saw a lot of moments in that game that he could have played to a higher degree and what he's capable of. He's proven that he's a good quarterback, and he didn't play to his best on Saturday. He knows that. We didn't put him in the most advantageous situations on Saturday as well, but he came in today and attacked it really well.
That's what Landing's all about after a loss. Got to attack the day, get better, and that's really all you can do. He knows. Dude, he's from that SEC grind, the Georgia grind. He gets it. Look, tough loss. Move on. Get out there in New Jersey and whoop some ass. Get people talking about you again. Mods PDX, the future of building is here. All right, well, we were lucky to get two Monday night games last night, a couple baseball games. Tonight, all we have is Brewers-Dodgers. But early returns are shaping up to be a good little ball game.
It's a hard-fought one, man.
2-1 Dodgers. Yeah, the Brewers are tough.
I really like Jackson Churio. He led the Brewers inning off with a home run. Love him. He's fast, great left fielder, has just such a smooth swing. He's obviously one of the game's great young players.
Isn't
already.
He like 15 years old?
Yeah, he's like 20, barely. I don't know when they drafted him, but what a pick.
A star in the making.
Those young kids, man.
The kids.
Well, it's cool in baseball. They're putting the younger guys in a lot more, which I like. I hate when they force a kid to spend 6 years in the minor leagues and he's 25, 26, and they're like, hey, this young prospect is going to be a great hitter. It's like, what, for what, 5 years?
Well, I feel like they've been doing that with pitchers now.
Yeah.
Where these pitchers, I mean, they're not spending much time in the big arms. They're not spending much time in the minors.
No, their stuff is already to the level. And hell, some of them have like had Tommy John surgery in college. So like they've had more development and more pitches, I think, than 18, 19, 20-year-olds of generations past.
Well, yeah, there's a pitcher, a reliever for the Brewers. I forget his name, but I was watching them the other night. He was like in Double-A like a month ago.
Yeah.
And he's one of their better relievers. They're like, yeah, this guy's stuff's better than anybody we have. I mean, it's crazy. That kid for Toronto that pitched, was that yesterday?
Yeah, Savage, yeah.
Yeah, isn't he a recently drafted
kid
that just came up, mowed down the Yankees, and then they thought he was great, and
they had
turns
him up
out he
for,
wasn't.
What, 2 months of the year or something like that? Yeah, that's just going with a hot hand, which you usually, I feel like baseball teams like in the past did that. A-Rod, in his first ever season, was on the Mariners roster in 1995 in the playoffs, and actually when that double was hit by Edgar, A-Rod was the one in the on-deck circle. So, like, there has been a history of young players, but maybe one per team. Now it's like five.
Hmm. Who is the best? By the way, Churio, 21 years old.
Okay.
So he can now drink.
Hell yeah.
As of March 11th.
Where's my favorite number, 11? So pretty cool.
Who do you think is the best young, the youngest best athlete in the U.S.?
Ooh. So just not baseball? Everybody.
No, anything. I mean, I was thinking Cooper Flagg.
Yeah, Cooper. Yeah.
Victor. I mean he's not American, but
no, but if you put in the U.S., that was the first one that comes to my mind.
How old is Wemby?
He's got to be only 21, 22 still, right? I thought he came over when he was 19.
Yeah, he's 21.
Yeah.
Just a little older than Churio.
Mm-hmm.
Cooper Flagg is 18, 19?
Flags, yeah.
Flags. He's 18, dude.
There you go. That's the youngest one. I mean, I know Jackson Merrill, the would-be rookie of the year if it weren't for couple of guys last year in the National League. Yeah, he's, how old is he? 22. So there's a couple of guys that pop up. But yeah, it's got to be like Wemby or Cooper Flagg.
How are you that good that young? Can you imagine that?
No.
Can you think of 21-year-old Schultzy? Could you handle being that great at anything?
No, I was drunk.
I couldn't.
I was drunk in a bar, sir, trying to hit
right.
on girls. I had no semblance of greatness at
no
that
No chance.
Are you kidding me?
Can you imagine if like we were given that kind of talent? How wasted it would have been. I can't speak for you, but for me, I know I would have wasted it.
I mean, as a young kid, like I had the dreams of like playing, you know, in the NBA when I was like 12, 13, spent every night out like on the.
Well, you know, I feel like Schulte, you're a little short.
Oh, yeah, figured that one out. Oh, tiny hands, and I'm short. Well, absolutely.
Look, the NBA, at least, you know, there are measurables. You have to be at least, you know, it's like you and I were never going to play in the NBA.
No. Figured okay. that out. Yeah. It's okay. Like, but like in baseball you know, could. I
yeah,
could.
Yeah, yeah. I probably should have been, you know. It's just that damn coach.
I was a terrible hitter.
It was Ted Haggard, that son of a bitch, would always put his kid in over me.
Oh, man. You were the five-tool kid. You would have been Derek
Jeter
if you played
I was
he,
a better pitcher
you.
Than Andy Haggard, and everybody knew it. It was politics, and Ted was the coach, and that's probably why I'm not in the big leagues.
You sound like Uncle Rico from Napoleon Dynamite. If Coach would have put me in,
that's right.
We would have taken state. I'd throw the football over them damn mountains. Like, what?
Dude, I was awesome.
I can just imagine.
I was the Jamie Moyer of 12-year-olds.
A young Isaac Everett Ropp tossing in a 50-mile-an-hour curveball.
That's right.
Hit that, bitch.
A lefty curve. I had my little Chris Sabo glasses on, my little mullet.
Love that.
Dude, skinny Chris as a Sabo. Rail. You saw me out there, you wouldn't think anything of me, and then I'll pop, fastball, wow.
Like Tim Lincecum. Yeah, yeah, a little skinny kid.
Yeah, I was. I was like Tim Lincecum. That's pretty much who they compared me to back then.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you're basically Tim Lincecum, if only Ted Haggard would let you pitch.
Why didn't the scouts ask the coach to let you play? Damn.
Yeah, scouts didn't find me in Little Salina. Buried on the bench. Buried in the bullpen.
Sorry, Rob.
Sad. It's a sad tale.
What could have been, sir?
Thanks a lot, Ted. All right, we're getting off track here. Let's get to the club. Let's take a look here. Bloop, bloop, bloop. I saw a list of the top 25 trending Halloween costumes. And there's a theme amongst them.
Ah.
And, oh, I know what we were going to talk about tonight. I want to talk about people that you no longer find funny. Because there's a new documentary coming out about a guy that I no longer find funny. And it makes me somewhat sad. So we will get to that coming up next in the club. On the Fan.
And it makes me sad.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Apply,
app
only.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.